Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, we lost a legend who leaves a legacy. Thank you to Steve Jobs for helping us create a little show called iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by GoToMyPC. Don't let life's unpredictable moments decrease your productivity. Visit GoToMyPC.com for your free 30-day trial. Use the promo code iPad. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. And by Slingbox, which just turned your iPad into a television. Slingbox introduces their new iPad app, so now you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you take it. Check it out at Best Buy or Slingbox.com.
Holy crap.
That went fast. Okay, welcome to iPad Today. We're trying to keep our spirits up because it's been a difficult 24 hours. Yesterday morning, Steve Jobs, as you know, passed away.
And that's right.
As you so aptly put it, there would be no iPad Today without Steve Jobs.
It's true. I made a comment in our breaking news coverage that we weren't prepared for.
No, we did three and a half hours.
We had a great team. I mean, everybody just absolutely banded together, and some of my friends who were watching our coverage said, "Wow, you guys were really prepared for this." And I said, "We absolutely were not. We pulled this out of our, you know."
Yeah,
what.
But we were prepared in the sense that this is our beat. This is what we cover.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but I've spent a lot of time thinking about Steve Jobs, thinking about Apple over the last 25 years. I mean, we are prepared for it in a way, aren't we?
Well, I guess production-wise, it was something that we just had to scramble and do. But
I feel like when this kind of thing happens, it was like that at Tech TV after 9/11. It's almost like we all need to get together, you know, you and us, and talk about it. Just kind of talk it out. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we wanted to do last night. And I think it was great. And then Eric Lanigan came on and did another 4 hours.
Absolutely.
Taking calls. And I was so glad we could do that.
And
it's a
little part of me felt like, wow, sometimes this feels a little melodramatic, but it is true that I 100% feel I owe Steve Jobs all of this.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a show about iPads and iOS in general that would not be possible if not for his vision. So
you could go even more. I mean, I don't know if I'd have...
Oh, man, my career.
Certainly technology wouldn't be very interesting if Steve Jobs hadn't transformed it with the Apple II, the Macintosh, the iPad, the iPod, the iPhone, the Apple stores, the laser printer. What have I left out? He transformed the technology landscape. And I said this last night on CNN. I don't know if it will be as much fun to cover without Steve Jobs. And admittedly, you know, I've often been critical of Apple and Steve. There was stuff to criticize, but he sure made it interesting.
He sure did. I thought many of you have been following not only our coverage, but I mean the amount of conversation on the internet is really unprecedented. And so instead of playing the commencement speech, which is, if you haven't seen it, please look it up, his Stanford commencement speech back from 2005. But for the purposes of our show, I thought that it might be fun to play that moment that we all saw the iPad unveiled for the first
time. Pretty exciting, yeah. I remember being in the auditorium for this.
All of us use laptops and smartphones now. Everybody uses a laptop and or a smartphone. And the question has arisen lately. Is there room for a third category of device in the middle? Something that's between a laptop and a smartphone. And of course, we've pondered this question for years as well. The bar is pretty high. In order to really create a new category of devices, those devices are going to have to be far better at doing some key tasks. They're going to have to be far better at doing some really important things. Better than the laptop, better than the smartphone. What kind of tasks? Well, things like browsing the web. That's a pretty tall order. Something that's better at browsing the web than a laptop? Okay. Doing email. Enjoying and sharing photographs. Video, watching videos. Enjoying your music collection. Playing games. Reading ebooks. If there's going to be a third category of device, it's going to have to be better at these kinds of tasks than a laptop or a smartphone. Otherwise, it has no reason for being. Now, some people have thought that that's a netbook. The problem is, netbooks aren't better at anything.
You could see him walking through his own thought process.
They're slow.
In this.
They have low-quality displays, and they run clunky old PC software. So they're not better than a laptop at anything. They're just cheaper. They're just cheap laptops. And we don't think that they're a third category device. But we think we've got something that is. And we'd like to show it to you today for the first time. And we call it the iPad.
Remember, we didn't really know much about this at the time. We thought they were going to do a tablet.
Focused on the name.
Yeah.
Let me show it to you now. This is what it looks like.
It's a big iPhone.
I have one.
I mean, he's practically skipping around on that stage. He's so excited.
He was so happy. And yet, we know now that he was probably fairly ill even at this point. This was January 2010. And he was, probably in significant pain. Not feeling well, and yet he really, he's been sick for 8 years.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking through everything Steve Jobs last night, and the iPad 2 keynote is sort of painful to watch.
Yeah.
Because
he's really thin there.
He's getting through it,
yeah.
You can tell.
Yeah.
And that's obviously anything that anybody could look up, but I really loved... And the original iPad seems really archaic now, because now we're all used to... not all of us. Believe me, I know some of you are rocking first-gen iPads where you don't even have one at all, and that's fine, because those are great too. But it does seem like a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that I think we aren't real... Humans in general aren't real good at getting a sense of the scale of the time frame. And so we just kind of get used to the way things are. And so we have to actually force ourselves to remember a time pre-personal computers, pre-smartphones, pre-iPads. And this has all happened in just a short span of time,
yeah.
In one man's lifetime. And the iPad has, in a year and a half, captured a huge market share and a huge part of our imaginations. It really, for 10 years, Microsoft tried to create a tablet computing experience and couldn't do it. Bill Gates... committed to tablets in 2001 and couldn't do it. And along comes Steve, along comes the iPad. And this is what he was so good at. You know, the iPod wasn't the first music playing device. The Apple II wasn't the first personal computer. Somehow, smartphones, they'd been around before the iPhone. But somehow Steve was able to take something and make it completely different, make it completely accessible, easy to use, something you wanted. And part of it is sales and marketing. He was a brilliant salesman. The thing I'm going to miss is going to those events. Of course, that was the last one I was invited to. But I really enjoyed going to those events and watching his showmanship. He was a P.T. Barnum in some ways. And yet, we can't forget that even though it was sales and marketing, he had something good to sell. These really were truly revolutionary technologies.
People are convinced Apple fans of drinking the Kool-Aid, being fanboys, and you're apologists and all that stuff. And I would say that although I'm clearly a fan, this happened with both the iPad and the iPhone. Other people had it. I realized it was great. You know, I'd kind of look over their shoulder. Yeah, it's kind of neat. But it was expensive.
Right.
And I didn't want to be somebody who was just frivolously going to jump on the next thing.
Right.
And not take into consideration how much money it cost, and does what I have right now work for the things that I need it to work for. However, without fail, whenever I've finally bitten the bullet and had one of these products in my hand, I think.
You resisted it, didn't you?
What in the
Every
world
step
was
of the
I
way.
Doing? Like, why was some sort of like a pride pedestal I was standing on? Like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give in. And it's so much better.
You just didn't want to drink the Kool-Aid.
Well, I didn't want to. I don't know.
I know.
It's like,
I
that's
understand.
A whole other Kool-Aid thing. The non-Kool-Aid drinkers are drinking some other, like, you got to fight the man Kool-Aid. I don't know. But the iPad 2, of course, for those who forget, how was it exactly different from the original iPad?
It's a lot thinner.
It was the one that got the A5 chip.
Twice as fast, double core.
9 times the graphics power. 2 cameras. Not great cameras, but going from no cameras to
a rear
and a front.
Do you ever use the camera on your iPad?
Sometimes I do when I use photo apps that don't require stuff that's really high quality or FaceTime.
Okay.
I don't FaceTime regularly, so I think that it's important to be honest about that. But I'm not crying. I have fluff in my eye.
You're crying. I know it.
I'm not.
Sorry, I'll cry.
Talking about a product. Come on. This is the first time I saw an iPad available in white.
Right.
It was kind of funny. At that keynote, he said, because there was such that white iPhone debacle. Said shipping from day one,
right?
Black and white, and everybody kind of woo. And yeah, thinner and lighter.
You know, the iPhone 4S, which I think we're all now going to say that the 4S stands for four Steve.
Absolutely.
The iPhone 4S is very much to the iPhone 4 what the iPad 2 was to the iPad 1, and I think both heralded a new chapter for Apple in which they would not make major jumps forward. In each release, they would make incremental improvements and leave room for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's much more you could do with an iPad than they did with the iPad 2. And that's why there's all those rumors that there'll be an iPad 3. Obviously, there won't be this year. They would have announced it this week.
Right.
It'll be next year at the usual time. And it will probably have a Retina display. It probably will have better cameras. It will have more RAM, which should make a big speed up. I hope that it has Siri. And we're going to talk a little bit about iOS 5. But I think that that's something that, as far as I could tell, will not be on the iPad 2, that really should have been on the iPad 2.
Yeah, I think you made this point yesterday, is that at the same time, I think, because, again, Apple products are well-made but not cheap, never going to be cheap,
nope.
That they understand that there's going to be a little resentment when things come out too quickly, because who can spend all their money on products, even if you have the capacity to have pushed out an iPad 3 here in October, is that really the right move for everyone who just spent all that money to get iPad 2s
exactly.
in March?
Exactly. I mean, it's a marketing thing, too. I think they want to make as much money on the existing product before they make the update. But it also does scare people. It's one of the things that scares people about Android is that the minute you buy it, it's happened to me already.
Yeah.
Just the last Android phone I bought 2 weeks ago is going to be out of date next week. And that's a little frustrating for normal people. We're used to it. But I think that Apple probably has the right idea. Slow this stuff down. They aren't any, you know, the newest stuff, the iPad 2 and the iPhone 4S, are not breaking a lot of new ground. And that's a criticism that I think could be legitimately leveled at both. But at the same time, it does reassure consumers. And you know what? It's not going to hurt sales.
No, that's for
I think
for
people
sure.
are still going to buy an iPad 2. Obviously, they did, and they're going to buy an iPad 3 when it comes out next year and on and on.
I don't even think that Kindle Fire is going to hurt sales. I think it just helps people understand that tablets are a really great device for a lot of things. I have a feeling that I'm looking at the chat room, got a lot of people in chat, that many of you possibly are tuning in to iPad Today for the first time. And if that's the case, welcome.
Good to have you.
And if you're a veteran, yay. Thanks for staying with us. Always fun to watch live. If you don't know when we shoot live and you're watching this later on, Thursdays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 1:30 p.m. Pacific,
4:30 Eastern.
Eastern.
And do you want to do UTC? 20:30 UTC.
Oh, show off. And if you want to watch any of our past episodes, if you're new to iPads, maybe you just bought one for the first time, or you were wondering what we talked about in episode 5 way back in the day, just visit us at twit.tv/IPT. That's where all of our show archives live. That's also where you can find all of our subscribe links. So if you want to just subscribe in iTunes to our video or our audio feed, if you prefer audio, you can do that as well as a bunch of other methods as well.
Great thing about this show, if you haven't seen it before, and I know some of you are new, is we really give you a lot. It's a lot of apps, a lot of stuff to try, a lot of insight into what's going on. It's a great way to keep up with iPad because the iPad comes out but once a year, but new applications come out every single day, and there's always something new going on.
The shell is pretty and all, but you don't see that after the first couple days. It's what you can run on it.
And we've got some stuff to talk about, including a brand new operating system, which we'll be getting in about a week.
October 12th.
Yay!
It's going to be my birthday present.
Yay! Can't wait.
Yay.
Before we go on, let me talk a little bit about our sponsor, GoToMyPC. Life is unpredictable. I guess we learned that this week. Things beyond your control can keep you from getting things done at the office. You got a sick kid, traffic jam, bad weather, just being under the weather yourself. Maybe you have to stay home. Really nice to have GoToMyPC from Citrix installed on your office computer. It helps you stay productive no matter what keeps you from work. Connect to your office Mac or PC from any other computer and, of course, your iPad as well. Work on any file, run any program, send and receive email, even access your internal network from anywhere. Securely, quickly, easily with GoToMyPC. With GoToMyPC, you've got peace of mind knowing your office computer is just one click away no matter where you are. And now you can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click that Try It Free button. See that big one? That orange one? Click that right there. And then type in IPAD is the promo code. And you'll have 30 days free of GoToMyPC. I do recommend you, if you install it, to go get the iPad. I presume you have an iPad. Get the iPad version of it, because it's really cool running your office computer on this little lightweight iPad. That's wonderful. GoToMyPC.com. Try it free. Click that button there, and then iPad is the offer code. We thank them for their support of iPad today.
This was just a big week for Apple in general.
Holy cow.
On Tuesday, we were all here early in the morning covering the new iPhone keynote.
10 a.m. Boy, I was exhausted.
It wasn't as early as the Amazon.
No, the Amazon was 7 a.m. And we would thank you to not do that again, Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
So from the point of view of us iPad users, you may have an iPhone. You'd be interested in what the iPhone has to offer. But there were really two announcements that iPad users would care about. One is we can print cards from our iPad now. And the other one, right?
Well,
send them.
They didn't really say anything about the iPad.
I guess it's an iPhone app that you could use on your iPad.
Yeah, I can't imagine that the cards app will only run on the 4S.
Did you see that the stock price for American Greetings, you could see when that announcement happened, it just went...
Isn't that
collapsed.
Weird?
Because I guess the stock market decided, well, that's it. Everybody's going to send greeting cards from their iPhone from now on. But the big announcement was iOS 5. Now, iOS 5, we're going to get it. I don't think there's going to be a charge, as there has been in the past for older hardware. It should go on your iPad 1 or your iPad 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make some changes. I think the biggest thing that I'm trying to find out, and I don't know, is if we're going to get the Siri assistant, because that's the biggest change. You got notifications. Mm-hmm. You've got the new magazine rack and all of that. But the big change, newsstand, that's the name I was looking for, reminders. But the big change is Siri, and they have not been clear about whether Siri Assistant will be iPhone 4S only.
Yeah, Adam R. wrote in and said, "Hey guys, I watched the iPhone 4S being unveiled, and it struck me that the iPhone 4 can't handle Siri because it doesn't have that A5 processor, but the iPad 2
does.
So does that mean iPad 2 owners will get a crack at Siri in iOS 5? I guess we'll find out soon enough, but nobody seems to be asking the question."
Now, iLover, Web7181, and others in our chat room are saying, no, it's for iPhone 4S only. Certainly that was my assumption, but did Apple ever really say?
No, but the fact that they didn't makes me think that it's not available for the iPad, because they would have said so. Think about all the iPad owners who'd be excited about this.
The one technical issue, and it could be a real reason you can't put it on the iPad 2, is RAM. Apple did not talk about this, but the story is that there's a gigabyte, and I would expect this is the case, a gigabyte of random access memory on the iPhone. That's four times what was on the iPhone 4. It's twice what's on the iPad 2. And we do know that voice recognition is very challenging. It needs a fast processor, but it also needs a lot of RAM. It's possible that there's a technical reason. I'll be honest with you. Because they're sending the dictation out over to the server, that the work is being done not on the computer but on the server, I believe that that's not the case, that it's just a marketing distinction and that they could put it on the iPad,
too. We'll see it in the next iPad.
Yeah.
It's like... They didn't say no, but to not say yes is very telling to me. What is cool, though, certainly about iCloud, is the ability to sync photos between, whether it's your 4S or just your iPhone 4. You can take really nice photos on both of those phones. You can't take nice photos on the iPad. You can take photos, but they're not going to be great. It can't be done. But once I have photos in my iPad, it's kind of a cumbersome process. But once I get them in, then I've got all sorts of photo apps to play around with. I mean, I could spend all day basically Photoshopping all of my pictures on my iPad, and that's really fun to do. I just can't really take the originating pictures on my iPad. So syncing photos wirelessly, I am super excited about. I mean, syncing all sorts of things wirelessly,
I think,
but particularly
be cool.
Photos. Because this is such a photo-centric device.
Let me correct myself, by the way. It's the iPad 1 that had 256 megs of RAM. The iPhone 4 did have half a gig of RAM. And it's not clear. Now I'm seeing that some sites are saying that the iPhone 4S will also just have 512 megs of RAM. Mm. So if that's the case, technically,
there's no reason at all
for Siri not to be available for
iPad. Would any of it have to do with the fact that so many people don't have 3G iPads? So that it would be like a service that could be that just wouldn't work as well as it should on the fly. And I don't know. I'm grasping.
No.
I'm trying to give them a way out. One of the also interesting announcements was Find My Friends. So that's something that's going to be part
now,
of iOS
available.
5.
Yeah.
That is similar to Find My Phone, Find My iPhone, Find My iPad also works, except that Find My Friends has to do with tracking the location of people who you're connected with, which was surprising to me because my first reaction was, ooh, Apple wants to get into that whole geolocation type of a game. But I don't think it's so much of like a social thing as much as a lot of people have mentioned a company called Glimpse as, ooh, this sounds like a Glimpse competitor. I was not familiar with Glimpse.
Oh, I've been using Glimpse for a long time.
In fact, you
know who told me about Glimpse is Robert Scoble. He was late for Twit. And he was stuck in traffic. He was driving in from the city.
And he had proof.
He sent me a text message that said, I'm going to be late. Here's my location. And if you clicked on that link, it would give you a Google map with a dot on it. And you could see Robert. It would tell you how fast he was going, his ETA, the whole thing. We literally watched him pull up to the cottage, circle around looking for parking. We knew to the second when he was going to arrive. I was so wowed by that. And that was almost a year ago that I started using Glimpse. Every time I'm late, and you know I'm late all the time,
exactly.
I will send people a Glimpse saying, I'm going to be late. Here's where I am. And I think this is a great thing to do for people if you are running late, or even not. If you're meeting somebody and you want to let them know that you're on your way, they could tell exactly where you are using the GPS built into your phone. Now, that would be one that would require, of course, a 3G iPad because the positioning. And I imagine that, now that's interesting. Does Find My iPhone / Find My iPad, if you have a Wi-Fi iPad, does that work? Not very well. Not very well.
Not very well at all. I'm running Glimpse on my iPad now, and like Leo said, it has geolocated me at our brick house where we are.
Right.
And I can say, I can choose to send, you know, maybe Leo.
I use this all the time. I love this.
Yeah. Let's say, well, I was going to say, like, I'm not running
but
late.
But you're here.
I'm sitting here. But let's say I was running late, like, for a lunch meeting kind of thing. You know, I can choose to send to any contact.
So people are telling me that you can use this without the GPS, the 3G iPad, because the Wi-Fi location works pretty well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Although, I mean, it couldn't be that precise,
right?
Well, I don't know if you need to be that precise, especially when you're running late. But if
Glimpse,
I say,
as you can see, is spelled with a Y, by the way.
A certain amount of minutes. Yeah, Glimpse with a Y. I can choose to send a message. It's funny. They give you, like, helpful messages to start off with, like, here's where I'm hanging out tonight, or I'll meet you in the lobby, or in the neighborhood, stalking you, or...
Really? Is there really one that says that?
No, it just says in the neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
I read that as I'm stalking you. Want to hook up? But, of course, you can add your own message.
You can actually do a booty call from Glimpse?
Yes.
That's
like,
a little creepy.
Be there in 10, man.
What are you doing?
How you doing? But the nice thing is, and I tried this out last night because I'm apparently the last person to know about Glimpse. Maybe some of you haven't heard about this.
iFrank says it's the I'm going to be late app, and that's exactly why Leo loves it.
But what's nice about it is that if you were late to this show, let's say, and you sent me a Glimpse and went ahead and let me track your location.
You know exactly where I was.
Yeah. So it's like, it's also good if, Let's say you are a paranoid parent and your kid is like driving to Tahoe and you're kind of worried and you're like, you know, let's just do a glimpse so I know that you get there safely.
Right.
Type thing.
Right.
There are so many
instances
where this could be really helpful.
And that's where I use Find My iPhone, by the way, is it's a good way to track your kids.
Right.
Parents, little hint.
Yeah.
Don't tell the kids that's what you're using it for. Or they'll take it right off.
Your kids don't watch the show, right?
They don't watch the show.
We're safe?
We're safe.
Good. So, I will have to use Find My Friends, but if it works like Glimpse, that's awesome.
Is it going to be like Foursquare where most people won't use it? It'll be just a small cadre of hipsters like you and me that use it?
But Foursquare's a game. I don't think Find My Friends is supposed to be some sort of a point system.
You will have to opt in, right? You'll have to turn it on.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Can you imagine? I know who you are. but it seems more like a tool, where Foursquare is more of this fun thing that either you get or you don't.
Right.
You know, you leave tips and that sort of thing. So that's why I even found out about Glimpse, because people were saying it's not really like a Foursquare thing.
Right.
They're not trying to be like a geolocation gamification competitor. It's more of a tool just to make sure you know where other people are.
Right.
Wanted to mention, in the App Store, this is really great. We have mentioned them on a past show. The folks at a company called Binary Family, who make an app called iTrivia, all about Apple. Remember we played this game?
Yes.
They are offering the app for free.
Cool.
In memoriam of Steve Jobs.
Oh, that's a nice
Sunday,
idea.
Sunday, October 9th.
Oh, that's a really nice idea.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Good for them.
And they were nice enough to ping me and just let me know, because they know that a lot of people who watch the show may not have downloaded it because it wasn't free. It's free now. And, you know, not only is it free, I mean, it's free for a limited time, obviously, but it's really cool. It's just cool content. It's like,
it's fun.
We're all
and
thinking about Apple,
all
the origins of Apple right now.
All the people who watch this show could do really well on it.
Yeah.
I think. You'll know all that trivia.
You stumped me once or twice.
It was fun. We had some fun with it.
Yeah.
The name of it again is iTrivia.
It is iTrivia, all about Apple.
All about Apple edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goodbye.
In fact, they wrote a nice note and said, our whole team is indebted to Steve Jobs. Without him, we would not exist. We earn our living solely from that app store. His revolutionary approach allowed us as indie developers to stand alongside the software giants and offer our creations directly to Apple users.
That's
and
neat.
We are truly grateful. And there you have it.
I heard from a lot of people over the last 24 hours who said exactly that. Like you and me, our livelihood is based on what Steve Jobs and Apple, let's not forget, it wasn't just Steve all by his lonesome.
Steve and team.
But Steve and team created. And so many people make livings on the iOS platform right now.
We also should mention that Infinity Blade 2 is coming December 1st. I know you're excited about that.
Yeah. Well, now, see, I was the only guy when we were doing the announcement.
Dual Swords.
When they said Epic, I said, oh, Infinity Blade 2?
Uh-huh.
And I was very excited. It's a great game.
You panted a little bit. Uh-huh.
It's a great game.
Weird.
Can be a very expensive game because it has in-app purchases that can really end up costing you a lot of money. But I love Infinity Blade 2 and Infinity Blade itself. It's on the Unreal Engine, and so it really is amazing looking. It's a great demo, even if you don't play games. Get it just to show people this is what the iPad 2 can do.
We did get a couple of duh tips this week.
Duh.
Thanks for everybody. We got more than a couple, but we'll feature a couple. Bill Malloy writes, did you know that you can get to active apps, so apps that are running, you know, where you would double-click on your home screen to get to, by doing a four-fingered swipe up?
Hmm.
Did
if
you know that, Leo?
You have to turn it on, though.
Oh.
You can, but you have to turn it on.
Now, here's where, because my nails have been growing out. I'm trying not to bite my nails. And so I'm like, is it my nails' fault that this isn't working?
You have to turn it on.
I haven't turned it on.
So go to your settings.
Okay.
Let me see. I have to make sure it's in the right. I'm in the right spot. Here it is. Under general settings.
Uh-huh.
Oops. Scroll up again. Multitasking gestures. It has to be turned on.
Well.
You don't have it.
Why not?
Why not?
Why don't I have it?
It's right under mute.
What? You're not running iOS 5, are you?
There might be another step to this. Let me look.
What in the heck?
No, this is... but it might be that you have to enable it somehow. What is the...
You have to download X.
Ah, that's right. Okay, I forgot. So, on your Mac...
Developers.
Thank you, chat room. You, on your Mac, you have to download Xcode on your Mac, And
this is no wonder this is a duh tip. It's not really very obvious.
It isn't very
at all.
Duh. And then what do? I think you create a new. I can't remember what you do in Xcode, but there's a step in Xcode that you have to do. You connect your Mac and you say, I think you're like turning on debugging mode or something. That's right. And now it's not just the four finger swipe. Look what you could do.
Okay.
You can use four or five fingers to pinch to the home screen, swipe up to reveal the multitasking bar, or to swipe left and right between apps. So let me go up here. So if I do a four finger swipe, let's see. I should be in an app first. Four finger swipe, it'll go to another app.
Hey.
Look at that.
Oh, I love it.
Oh.
It's very
Brilliant. Do this. I never use this, by the way. Or do the four-finger pinch.
You look weird. It makes you look like you've lost a thumb.
To go back to the home screen.
Good stuff.
I've lost a thumb?
Well, just the way that you're holding your hand for a second, it's like very claw-like.
I can do it. I'm going to swipe.
Tree sloth. Away.
It is. That's why I never use it. It's any gesture that requires four fingers is just a little difficult. Isn't it? And then the four-finger pinch.
Here I was thinking, this is a good excuse to start biting my nails.
But yours doesn't do it.
Do these with nice nails.
Yours doesn't do it, does it?
No, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
All right, so there's...
So you have to download Xcode. This is in iOS 5. But in iOS 4, you have to download Xcode and turn on... I think you have to turn on debugging. I can't remember the exact thing. But you know what? There is probably, if you search for turn on multi-touch gestures on iPad, you'll be able to find the step-by-step.
Here's another
I did it so long ago, I forgot how I did it.
We were just like, hey, why don't they look
the same? In fact, you know, the reason this guy probably was watching the iPad today where I showed you how to do it.
Yeah.
You might not have been here. It might have been a show where you were on
There's
vacation.
There's never been a show that I've been on vacation
Really?
For,
You've
Leo.
Never missed a show?
No, I have not.
Must have been a show when I was on vacation.
I have problems with relinquishing control. So, no, I haven't missed a show
That's
yet.
Interesting. anyway... I did. You were there. I'm just trying to let you off the hook.
Maybe I was.
You
just
were there, but
asleep.
You just were sleeping.
Yeah.
And I believe explained it, and that's probably why this guy wrote in, because he didn't remember that it was Leo. Was it MacBreak Weekly? I talked about it on. Okay,
that's
there you go.
That's why. See.
And by the way, they're telling me I don't have to use my pinky. I could just use these. Which is better, this or this?
Opposable thumbs. Not all creatures have them. Take advantage. Yeah, that even looks weirder.
That looks weirder.
Now you look like you're throwing a gang sign. You're going to get yourself shot.
Okay,
I have another duh tip, and I'm going to walk you through this.
Okay, walk me through it, because I'm a duh, too.
I'm positive you've not heard of this.
Oh, yeah.
Paul sent us this one in, actually. These are instructions to add custom words to the dictionary. You know how autocorrect has spawned many a website with people who have sent out things that they
Love
did not
that.
Mean to send out.
Love that.
So Gear Diary had written up this little tutorial. So I'm going to explain it while you go through your settings. Ready?
Okay, ready? Okay, first I'll go to settings.
Yes. Go to general.
Yes.
Go to keyboard.
Keyboard, all righty.
International.
International.
Click add new keyboard.
Oh, I already have. Now, I got to warn you, when you do this, then you get a button that can change keyboards. But okay, we'll. So whose keyboard should I?
Just choose.
Lithuanian?
I don't know, like,
Tibetan?
Go back.
It doesn't
like
matter?
Something. No,
I'll
it shouldn't matter.
I'll put English UK. That'll be the smallest difference.
Okay, cool.
Okay, now I have two keyboards.
Great. Now go back to the keyboard setting page.
Yeah.
And a new option should appear to edit user dictionary. It didn't. Go back to international keyboards again.
Maybe I have to add like something else.
Maybe something besides English.
Some Chinese. Let's add Chinese. Okay.
Right. Hey.
Okay. Let me exit out.
All right.
Go back in.
Uh-huh.
Go back to keyboard.
Keyboard.
Let's see.
International keyboard. Hey.
Did you try this before the show?
Yeah, I did.
It worked on yours?
Yeah, but I took it. Okay, go back to Chinese traditional. I'm sorry. This is the worst duh tip, couple of duh tips ever. It's like these really hard hacking things that don't work.
Should I use Wubihua?
No, go do Chinese traditional.
Yeah. Traditional?
Yeah.
So that's what you added was, should I use handwriting or pinyin? Use pinyin.
Do that.
Okay.
All right.
Now
go back.
Go back. Look!
Hey! All right.
So wait a minute. That's weird.
It is weird.
You have to add a particular language?
Well, maybe it's because just the characters are different, so they assume that people need to add a lot of customized words. I'm not sure. But at that point, go into your edit user dictionary.
This is it. Look
and
at this.
And now you can add. Well, it's the plus on the upper right. Where
add
you add a word.
Custom words.
And so if there's certain words that you're using all the time that iOS is constantly trying to to change on you.
I can fix
that. You can add custom words.
Like your last name.
Like that.
That'd be a good one to add.
You know, what
it always tries to change my name to Laput.
Or laptop. Or
laptop.
Laput? What's a Laput?
Helen Laput. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, those are duh tips that are actually quite complicated. So we just wanted to give you guys a challenge this week. You're welcome. By the way, anything that we have talked about on the show where you're like, I have no idea what they just did, very confusing.
This would be a good
worry.
One. Yes.
Show notes, our show notes at twit.tv/IPT. It's where we write up all of the stuff. Links that we talk about, everything's there. So if you're like, that was too much, you can always go back later and never miss a thing.
So good. I will give you the link then to the explanation of how to do the Xcode. And, the good news is Xcode used to cost $5. When I did the tip, you had to download the $5 Xcode. Now it's free again. So cool. It shouldn't be a big deal to do that. This show brought to you by our friends at Audible.com. Audiobooks. The best place to go for audiobooks. And Audible.com, they do have an app for the iPhone, but it works great on the iPad. If you just sync up, I have a ton of audiobooks on my iPad. If I just go into my Audible section, this is just, I love keeping audiobooks on here because you never know when you're going to be stuck in the train station or waiting at DMV, and you can listen to some great books. Look, here's the Stephen King Dark Tower series, War and Peace, Leo Tolstoy. Look at this. It's 10 parts, each part 8 hours, or maybe, okay, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. So it's a total of maybe 60, 70 hours of War and Peace. Secretariat, we were in Machu Picchu in February, and I wanted to find out more about that. So I downloaded The Last Days of the Incas, the story of the Inca Empire. The Help, did you see the movie? These are all available to you right now on Audible. In fact, pick one of these books, one of their 75,000 titles, and make it yours free. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. I'm listening right now to American Gods. This is a highly recommended, a Neil Gaiman book that was a classic 10 years ago, won the Hugo Award, the Nebula Award, and the author's gone back, fixed the text, added 12,000 new words, you know, equivalent of a couple of extra chapters, and it's dramatized. So I'll play just a little bit of this here for you.
Your iPad's cold. It's shaking.
Audio.
I know.
A full cast production of American Gods.
Such a good book. And all the voices are read by different people. So if you've never done an audiobook before, sometimes that's one of the things that throws people is they can't tell who's talking.
Right.
This is great.
It's a performance.
Touched
it's like
her cold nose to his.
Yeah.
And she curled up in his lap and went back to sleep. He put his hand down to stroke her. Her fur was soft,
she's
and she was warm and pleasant in his lap.
Don't get excited.
She acted like she was in the safest place in the world, and Shadow felt comforted.
I love this novel. It's about how the old gods...
kitties!
There's some kitties in it, yes.
Yeah.
It's about how the old gods who came to America with the immigrants getting kind of neglected as the new gods of technology, computers, cars become, idolized. And the war between the old and the new gods. Neil Gaiman is very, it does a lot of mystical kind of stuff. This is a great novel and really beautifully put together.
You know what I can't wait to have on audiobook? Steve Jobs' biography.
Walter Isaacson. That'll come out next month, and I'm sure they'll have an audiobook.
It's coming out this month. They have moved it up.
Oh, that's right. October 24th now.
Yeah,
they moved it up.
Yeah, just
so
a couple weeks
you're
away.
Right. I'm getting on the list for that one. In fact, that's what I do. I don't get the printed cover. Hardcover. I get the audiobook because I love listening. When you're in the car, at the gym, when you're doing housework, there's plenty of time you can't hold a book, but you can get reading done. In fact, those are the times you need it most. It will save you from your commute. Try it right now. It plays, of course, on the iPad, the iPhone, the Android phone, the Zune. Everybody plays the Kindle. But you will like the if you have an iPhone or an Android phone, you'll love the app. But as I said, on the iPad, it plays beautifully too. It's just wonderful. Go to audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. See Clash of Kings. This is like one of the best books ever read. Oh, it's so good. If you saw the Game of Thrones, make sure you listen to the next one, Clash of Kings, before next year when the new series comes out. audiblepodcast.com /iPad today. You'll sign up for the gold account. That's one book a month. Your first month is free. Your first book is free. Cancel it any time. It's yours to keep forever. AudiblePodcast.com/iPad today.
Speaking of iPad today, we get so much feedback from all of you, which makes our job really fun because it's like it's as if hundreds of millions of people are contributing to the show.
Yes, which
and
they
I'm not
are.
Even exaggerating. I'm pretty sure that hundreds of millions of people are watching this
millions.
Right now. So let's start with a voicemail from Bill.
Hi, it's Bill calling from Ontario, Canada. I have an iPad 1, and I was wondering why there is no ability to make a hotspot on it, where it, on my phone there is. I have an unlimited internet account, and I wanted to use that on my iPad. Any help would be appreciated. Thank you.
Bill wants to know, why the heck can't he make a hotspot?
Because you can't.
It's a carrier thing. I mean, it's...
They just won't let you.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably is a carrier thing. Well, and it may be in some areas of the world you can do this, but you cannot...
You have to pay
in,
extra on an iPhone.
Right. On the iPhone, you have to pay extra, exactly. You might be able to jailbreak it. There are tethering apps that once you've jailbroken an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspected that you could jailbreak your iPad and then down. In fact, the chat room is telling me my why will do it. But jailbreaking means that you are downloading applications from someone other than Apple to put on your iPad. And, of course, there's always some risk inherent with that. It's not illegal. You're allowed to do it. It may violate the terms of service. You'll have to look at the terms of service. Yeah, that document you ignored when you signed up for 3G on your iPad. You might have to look at that to see if they allow you. I bet they don't. But that's how you would do it. Jailbreak it and then get a third-party app not made by Apple that lets you do the hotspotting.
We do get this question fairly regularly from people who say, and I think this goes back to our Siri conversation. It's like, well, what is the difference? You know, we didn't have Skype on the iPad for a while. It's like, what is the difference?
You said it, carriers. Mm-hmm. And if the chat room's pointing out, and this is absolutely true, if your carrier, AT&T or Verizon, figures out that you're doing that, they could kill your account. They could turn off, if you had unlimited with AT&T, they could turn that off. It's, you know, it's a risky thing to do. Often what happens is they warn you, and you just keep doing it, and they warn you again. So it just depends on your tolerance level for, you know, getting in trouble with authority.
I guess so.
And it is really, I got to tell you, when you put 3G in something, even if you're Steve Jobs and Apple, the people, Verizon and AT&T, who put the 3G in there, they get some say in it. And that's one of the things they say very frequently is, mm-hmm. yeah, you can use the 3G on this machine, but not on anything else. No tethering, no hotspotting.
Battery's too good. That's all you do.
Yeah.
All right, so last week, a nice fellow named Ian sent us in a video where he explained that he was running, I think it was a plumbing business, where he had a group. He wanted to get 10 or so iPads and have that be
right.
the main machines that people were coming in, using, being able to track their hours.
He wanted to get his business done on the iPad.
Exactly. And
now, I know when you say plumber, get his business done. But I didn't mean that.
No, that's just one of those things that it's easy to make plumber jokes.
It is.
But it's
He's
a legitimate
the plumber
business.
From down under.
And let's be real. Sometimes plumbers are the only way that...
Never mind.
Yeah. So Mark Klass actually had written in.
He's written to us before.
Has he?
Yes, he has.
You recognize his name.
I do indeed.
Is he also Australian? Because he said g'day.
G'day.
All right. So, Mark, whether you're Australian or not, g'day to you. He says, for job tracking, the Hours Tracker HD app by Carlos Rebus is great. Each iPad user can then export to their home office their daily Hours Tracker data file for consolidation.
I do believe we've recommended this before. This is a very good.
Have we?
I believe we have.
Oh, my gosh. I'm getting into, like, the senior moment type of
iPad today.
No,
you know what? There's only... What, 250,000 apps?
I know.
So it's inevitable right. There'd be some overlaps.
We may have talked about this in a summary of
yes, it was
apps
very quick.
That
it wasn't
on the
a
job
pick.
Type of a thing.
Yeah.
So reminder from Mark that might be a great app. There were a bunch of you. Countless bunches of you who found a story on Engadget recently and passed along, which was the Griffin Multi-Dock, which stores and charges and syncs 10 iPads at once.
Yes, I saw that.
And
in fact,
they can
we saw
also
it.
Be chain-linked.
Do you remember seeing this?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
At Macworld, right?
Right, right, yeah. It can also be chain-linked to two other docks, so you could sync up to 30 tablets.
You mean daisy-chained?
What did I say?
Chain-linked.
Yeah.
Like a fence.
Yeah.
That works.
You just, yeah, barbed wire. It's all the same thing.
We saw this. These were those crazy guys that we saw at Macworld Expo. And this is such a great idea. It's mostly for, I would think, schools, libraries, museums,
yeah,
where they have a bunch of iPads that they hand out. But it would work for business,
yeah,
sure.
You've got to plunk down a little bit of money. But if you're serious about everyone kind of being on the same page and being able to sync all of your stuff and power all of your stuff, and you know, I mean, it looks really nice, doesn't take up a lot of room, it's great.
Yep.
I love that.
Yep.
So thank you very much from all of you who sent in that link. It was almost too many people to list, actually. And finally, Will Chow wrote in about an app that he actually created. He is a creator called Data Room. Through the web interface, this is his word, through the web interface, you can upload and organize and deploy your media to all the iPads in your business. So someone like Ian could upload images and audio and PDFs and docs and PowerPoint files, even movies for training videos, stuff like that, into the system. And then it'll notify all the iPads in his company that there's an update. So then the employees download the new content within the iPad app.
So be kind of like, so it's a custom app that you're making that does this.
It's software that you would run on your Mac, say, but then there's an iPad app that it talks to.
Got it.
Wirelessly. Yeah. So really the iPads aren't so much the creation device, they're the consumption device,
right,
but everybody's still on the same page and information can be dynamically updated. Yeah, I think Ian mentioned employee manuals and stuff where it had
right.
to do
There's
with
There's a standard set of documents.
That,
yeah.
Yeah, that needed to be updated.
It's interesting because you'd think that this would be a natural use for the iPad and that Apple would have all these solutions around it. And really, no, you have to cobble something together to make this work. I guess Apple never really saw the iPad as being a business device.
Yeah, well, I mean, can you think of anything? Yeah.
People use tablets and Windows tablets in businesses all the time. It's very common.
iPad has to, or Apple rather, still has, I mean, they've got Numbers, they've got Keynote.
Yeah, but they're not a business
but
company.
Personal little tablet thing. This is the email that I was talking about earlier in the show. That is a very touching email. So many of you wrote into us about Steve Jobs, your feelings, how much you miss him, mm-hmm. and we can't get to all of those. But I thought that Ken Goldenberg's was a really good one that stood out for me. He's from Rancho Santa Margarita, California. I've often compared Steve Jobs to another visionary, Walt Disney. Mm. Both had passion and great vision in what they did. Both seemed to know what the public wanted, even before the public did. Both changed the world for the better. Walt, too, was often cited as being very difficult to work for, often being a tyrant around
yep.
the office.
Yep.
Yet, like Steve, people loved to work for him because they knew the goal was to get it right, and they were all pushed to make the best product. Many stayed for their entire careers. At the dedication of the opening of Disney World in 1971, Walt's brother Roy said this, "Walt Disney World is a tribute to the philosophy and life of Walter Elias Disney and the talents, the dedication, and the loyalty of the entire Disney organization that made Walt Disney World bring joy and inspiration and new knowledge to all to come to this happy place, a magic kingdom where the young at heart of all ages God, I'm going to cry again, can laugh and play and learn together."
Oh, sweetie. You know, I heard Guy Kawasaki on CNBC today, and he brought up Walt Disney too. When somebody asked him, can Apple go on without Steve Jobs? He said, well, I was at Disneyland this week with my kids.
Yeah.
And somehow Disney figured out how to go on without Walt Disney. And the happiest place on earth, and it is still the happiest place on earth. And so maybe it's possible.
Ken says, the same can be said of Steve Jobs. He helped the world laugh and play and learn together. Thanks, Walt, for Disneyland, where my little girl can be a princess every day. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Steve, for the iPad, where she can watch the story of one every night.
Oh,
I know.
That's great.
I know.
Oh, if we
I
had
almost
a flag.
Just almost just said
yeah,
this.
I know. Isn't that funny how you want to, she's trying to swipe her screen.
It doesn't work.
If we had a flag, I'd lower it to half mast right now.
Well, they're doing that at One Infinite Loop, and I believe at Microsoft as well.
Isn't that touching? I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's exactly right, that Microsoft's acknowledging Steve's impact on the business.
Right.
Their business, too. I mean, remember, before there were Windows PCs, there were Macintoshes, there were Apple IIs.
I assume you saw Wired.com's tribute cover page to Steve Jobs.
I did
Jobs.
Not. I know that Time magazine stopped the presses, and they're going to do a special cover tribute,
They
too.
Certainly did, yeah. They have Time has a great Tumblr blog, actually, that they really keep people in the loop on that. Wired.com, it was sometime last night, put up a special Steve Jobs tribute page, really, where they had quotes from pretty much every other big CEO in the business.
Oh, that's
talking
nice.
About how much he had affected them, plus some quotes from their community. Really just, it was... One of the nicest I've seen.
You know who else did a great one? It. I'm pulling up Wired.com right now, but our friend Don McAllister. If you go
did
to
he?
Screencasts Online, he has a beautiful image. You probably saw it. It was a Hong Kong 19-year-old created it for his Tumble log. It was a black and white picture of the traditional apple with a bite taken out of it, except that the bite was Steve Jobs' very famous profile. And it was quite a moving, sad image. So that's what's loading on mine, too, is that commercial. So there it is, screencastsonline.com. And the Think Different
nice.
Ad on there. That's the Don McAllister is a class act, and it is the perfect front page to Screencasts Online. So it's not just Wired.com. It's not just Screencasts Online. I suspect we'll see tributes.
Pretty much everybody.
Everywhere. There's apparently, somebody's telling me in the chat room, if we go to Flipboard, there is a special Steve Jobs page on Flipboard as well.
Oh, awesome.
Let me go to the front page here on Flipboard.
There's so much. I mean, it's like it's all worth reading, and it's sort of overwhelming. Something like Flipboard would be great because you've
yeah,
you've
this
kind
is
of
just
your...
the fact that there's all these Steve Jobs tributes on here that, of course, that would be a lot of the covers. But let me see. Is it a special page if I go to... the set. Oh, here it is.
There you go.
Steve Jobs, the man who invented the 20th century.
Oh, that's awesome.
So this is a whole special. I'm going to add this.
That's what I'm doing tonight.
That's fantastic.
I'm just
a whole
read
special.
A bunch of stuff.
And it's a lot of it's from other sites, obviously, that they're pulling stuff together. This is beautiful. You know, boy, you couldn't hope for a higher tribute to the man who created the iPad to this Flipboard page. Remembering Steve Jobs.
Boy, do
tweets,
I love Flipboard. Thanks,
article.
Steve.
Nicely done. Very nice.
Reminder that we want to hear from all of you. Love getting all of your correspondence. iPadToday@twit.tv is the email address. You can leave us a voicemail on our Google Voice number at 757-504-IPAD. That's 757-504-4723. Or send us a video. I don't think we got any videos this week, but if we did, I might have missed it. So when you do send us a video, try to put video, like in all caps on the subject line or something, just so it stands out, because we always want to feature your videos whenever you send them in, because I know it can be sort of daunting to do that. Question, comment, idea, anything, we want to hear from you, and thanks so much for the correspondence so far.
Jonathan Max, by the way, is the name of that teenager from Hong Kong, created the tribute apple with Steve Jobs' profile.
I love that.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Yeah. I put that on my Google Plus, and I put it without credit because I didn't know where it came from. And as soon as I found out, I put credit on the Google Plus posting so that he could get credit. We're going to take a break, come back with our app caps.
Yes,
yeah,
we are.
We'll do an app cap. But before we do that, and I talk about Slingbox, you know, we do breaking news on this network because of Slingbox. Well, we were going to do it anyway, but we're very grateful Slingbox sponsors our breaking news segments. It makes it possible for us to do better news coverage. And you know what? I'm glad to do an ad for Slingbox anytime, any day. I think Slingbox is incredible. It's just a little box you put in your... No, we have our new ones.
Well, do you have yours next to you?
I think I do. Don't you have
do?
Yours?
It's... back there.
I'm going to talk about Slingbox while you get your special hat. It's
on
your
desk.
Oh,
I'm stuck, man.
Liz, would you get her special
hat? It's on my desk
it's
in
on
a little
desk.
Plastic bag behind
Slingbox
my gateway monitor.
Allows you to hook up this device. And you get it at Amazon, Best Buy, or at Slingbox.com. And you hook it up to your TV set. You hook it up to your DVD, your DVR, your satellite box, your Comcast cable, whatever cable you've got. It all goes in the back there, passes through. The one more thing to plug in, that's an Ethernet cable, because it's then on the Internet. And it literally puts your television system on the Internet. You can not only watch your DVR, you can program it. You can watch anything available in your television system. Anywhere you go, on your iPad, your iPhone, your computer, of course, on Android, Slingbox is truly incredible. It turns your iPad into a personal television. You got to try it. Go to slingbox.com to find out more or see a demo at Best Buy. Slingbox, it is the ultimate gadget. Slingbox.com/twit for more information. All right, I'm going to get my app cap on.
Why do I feel like juggling and then tripping over myself and falling?
I love that. That's
great. Isn't this
great.
Neat? I'm the court jester of Twit.
And I am the king.
Yes, that's right. These app caps
were very kindly sent
to us.
Butter.
I think your name is Dawn, if I'm remembering correctly.
You know, that letter is on Sarah's desk. It's the Amazon receipt on the desk.
There's like an Amazon receipt back there, so I can properly thank the right person.
I'm wearing this from now on. I'm just going to wear this everywhere.
You know, it's good to be king, isn't it?
It's good to be king.
Thank you, Alex. This is from Richard Hederly.
Thank you, Richard.
Your name isn't Dawn at all. It's Richard. That, you see, this doesn't work. This doesn't, you can't.
I think I got the better hat of the two, though, I might add. I just think mine.
Listen, Richard.
I've got a jewel.
I appreciate app caps. I will never say no to an app cap. But I get your message, okay? Leo's the king.
You're the jester.
And I'm the jester.
Yeah, that's why she called him Don.
That's right. Richard. And then you can, you know, have my head cut off or something if I'm not funny enough.
Make it so.
Yeah.
We are not amused.
So this jester has actually a very helpful app that I just discovered called Orchestra.
Ooh.
Which is, it sounds like it's music related and it isn't. It's sort of task management related, which is a very popular theme.
Orchestrates your tasks.
Audience. Yeah. Now, Leo, you're going to mumble and grumble because it's an iPhone app that runs just fine on the iPad, by the way. And the only thing it doesn't do is run in landscape mode, which is sort of a pet peeve of mine. But whatever. I'm just a jester. What do I know? So I'm going to go ahead and
show you.
Actually,
that looks just like an iPad app.
Yeah. No, it's actually really nice. The whole point is that it is it's kind of a different way to think about tasks that you need to do. So, for example, MG and I we have this piece of furniture that's really heavy, so it's going to need both of us to move it. And
so
we've
you
got to
do it together.
For months.
Got to do it together.
So the whole correspondence is we got to bring up the TV stand, got to bring it from downstairs to upstairs. So MG created the task.
Does he call you bub?
Well, just never mind that. That's it's whatever.
Because of your bubbly personality?
Something like that.
Never mind.
It doesn't matter, okay? Pet names are not what this app is about.
I know, but so that was a good one.
he said, this is a someday task. So you could say the task has to be completed by tomorrow or soon. He said someday. And I said, no, not someday.
On Sunday.
The task is soon. Then you can start the task if it's something that needs to be really important. So let me just show you how you could start a task from scratch. By the way, it attempts to use speech recognition if you're on the fly and you want to add it.
So who needs Siri?
Right.
I've got Bub.
Call Leo Laporte. Oh, whoops. Call Leo Laporte on Monday.
That's cool. Hey.
There you go.
Diggity dang dong.
Now, MG Seeger does not need to know about this because it's
not about
him. Yeah,
let's not tell him.
Well.
Just the two of us, okay?
Yeah.
I'll help you move it.
Yeah. How do I do that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Uncheck him.
Well, I'm trying.
He can't be unchecked.
He has to know about
it.
He has to know about it.
He is the one. Oh, you know why? You assigned it to him when you dictated it.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay, yeah. So there's a certain thing that you have to do before you actually create the task.
Right.
I'm just I'm going through this too quickly. Mm. But anyway, once you have the task.
So now he knows about us.
Once you have the task, that's really weird because MG is now going to get this in London and he's going to be like, so, like, why do I have to call Leo? What happened? Are you fired? So then I can add a comment.
I want to be a venture capitalist, MG.
Ignore this.
Okay. You got to do another one for him.
This can be a task. If I wanted to create a new task, I can assign it just to myself. I can assign it to a large group of people.
Does he think he's Wolverine? Is that it?
What do you mean?
Never mind.
Okay. That's weird. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Okay.
But here's where it gets cool because you might be like, okay, well, I don't know. That just seems like one more step to add into my whole task management system that I already have. Here is where I decided that Orchestra was awesome because you can use Orchestra really well
with
your email. You send it, all you have to do is just have an account.
I might have to get this.
Yeah. So it knows my Gmail address because that's the address I use to sign up. So then at this point, all I have to do is email from the account that I use on my, you know, to that I use to sign up, tasks@orchestra.com. So, like, if somebody, if you were to email me, like, hey, Sarah, can you please remember to bring those app caps on Thursday? Mm-hmm. I forward that email to tasks@orchestra.
And it adds it?
Yeah. And I can use hashtags to send it to my personal tasks folder or my Twit group tasks folder,
That's good. I don't know of any task managers that support email like that. Yeah. That's really a good idea.
Awesome. Yeah. And that's all on the subject line, and then you can further personalize it, you know, with a little note.
So this ain't Siri, but since we're not getting Siri on the iPad,
exactly.
This is the next best thing.
Yeah, I think that this appeals to people who really find, like, reminding themselves via email to just not work. And that's actually something that I still do because I know for sure that I'm going to be reading my email.
Yeah.
So you can actually incorporate this into maybe your clunky way of doing things and just get a lot more out of it. Like, I had a friend email me just this morning saying, no rush, but you owe us about $100 for that rental car over the weekend because we were at a wedding. And I sent it right into Orchestra and said, like,
don't forget,
you got to pay Hunter back, like, in 5 days.
And so it's Orchestra's O-R-C-H-E-S-T-R-A, mm-hmm. just like you would
it's
spell it normally.
It's spelled just like Orchestra.
Okay.
One note is
Orchestra to do.
Yeah,
by
Orchestra to do. And keep in mind that logo.
It's free.
Yeah, it's totally free.
Huh.
Isn't that great? Keep in mind that logo because when you search
There's
Orchestra,
others.
You'll get a lot of music stuff and it might get confused. Yeah. So look for that, you know, red
check. It looks like an at sign with a check mark in
it does.
Yeah,
so
that's easy to remember.
That's my app cap. I loved it.
I really like that. Did you know that I am a member of the United States Chess Federation?
No, but yes. It doesn't surprise me. It seems like something you'd be really good at.
That's why I'm the king. So I get the magazine, Chess Life, which is their house organ, comes out every month. And in the front, inside front cover, I noticed that they were selling an iPad app. I said, whoa, that's interesting. They call it Chess Camp, and I really like this. Now, it's not for an accomplished chess player, at least not yet. It comes with a preview, which is free, but then you have to buy the books. And so far, they've only got two books out, and these are really mainly for beginners. Move, Attack, and Capture, and Simple Checkmates. But as these more advanced books come out, this will be great even for more, for instance, tactics and defense, for more advanced players. So let me just show you what this is. And that this is exactly the kind of training that most agree is the best way to advance your chess skills. The beginning stuff, and they have a beginning volume, would be great for a kid, anybody from, I would say, 8 or up, can use this because it teaches you the moves by solving problems. For instance, this is problem 5, black to move. Hey, do you play chess?
I know,
do you know
how
the moves?
I know how
well,
to play.
Well, look at this problem. Yeah. Can white take black's rook? The way the rooks move, remember, is along. There's no way it can get to that rook, so the answer is...
I call those the castles.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I have weird names for my... But I know... I thought they were kings.
It's a rook.
Yeah, I don't know how to play chess.
Okay, here's one. Apparently not, but this would be good for you.
Yeah.
Can white take black's bishop? At any point. I mean, not right now, obviously, but at any point.
No, because bishops are diagonal.
Right.
It can't be done.
So, of course, no would be the correct answer. Congratulations, you've solved it. So it has a series of puzzles. Each book will have puzzles. These are the very basic ones. But I think this is a really, and it's accepted by most chess experts, the best way to learn chess is to see a lot of positions and to solve a lot of positions. And they've done a very nice job. There's some basic things here. You could change the colors of the board. You can display the coordinates if you're trying to learn the moves. Even better, if you want to know the legal moves, you can display legal moves. It's fairly simple, but it's free, and then you'll buy the books as you need them. I have to say, I was pretty impressed at this. This is exactly the kind of learning materials I wish I'd had when I started learning chess. These are simple checkmates. How about this one? You want to try it? White to move and checkmate black in one move. One move. You got any idea?
Wait, white to move and checkmate black?
Yep. How about if we move this rook over here, attacking the king? Can the king move? No, it can't go there, can't go there, can't go there. So the move would be this piece right to there. How about that? And that's right. So
see, this is the sort of thing that keeps your brain active between chess games.
It's a very good way to study and to learn.
So you
and
start
watch when I tap
not,
the piece,
knowing the answer without
it does a nice little horsey jiggle.
That's weird.
And then I can say, move that horsey there. Isn't that fun?
It's like moving apps around.
Yeah, I really like this.
That app thing.
Free for the basic, but you really don't get anything for free. You need to actually purchase the volumes, and they have several. Two volumes so far, Move, Attack, and Capture, and Simple Checkmates. Both of these are for beginners. This would be the one to get if you're learning chess. And then down the road, I'll let you know. I'll give you some reviews of these later books as they come out. I think the books are $7. I'm sorry, $8.99 each. So
I love this.
Yeah,
this
isn't
really
that nice?
Cool.
Chess Camp.
Chess Camp. By
and
Ron
it's
Radical.
The official USCF chess program.
You would know, chess nerd.
I am one.
Loud and proud.
Actually, there's two things that the iPad's great for. Ham radio and chess. Why are you surprised?
If you had to pick two, those would be
Are
the
you
two.
Surprised? All right, Sarah Lane, we are done. I think we've cheered up a little
show.
Bit. Are you feel a little bit better now?
I'm great. I don't know. That Disney email just sort of got me because it was dad and his kid and just sentimental stuff.
I understand.
But I think most of us have moved into celebration of how great of a guy.
I think that's the thing I would like to spend my energy thinking about.
Me too.
Is what great accomplishments, what a great life. And, you know, Woz said it when he said, Steve Jobs achieved every goal he ever set out to do. And that is a life well lived.
You can't say that about a lot of people. It's very inspiring, not to be trite.
You
want to
feel terrible?
It really is.
Before he was 30, he created the iMac, the Macintosh.
Yeah.
Before he was 30.
I feel like a piece of garbage.
I mean, that's, you know, by the time he was your age, he'd already done the Apple II, the Macintosh, the Next Cube, and Pixar. By the time he was your age, Sarah Lane. So what are you waiting for? Get going, girl.
Right. What am I doing?
Get going.
God, just
Bub?
Languishing here like a
Tub?
Box of rocks.
Stub?
I'm going to go out there and make a computer. It's going to happen.
You do have a nice hat, though.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard.
And thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time.
On iPad Today.
Oh.